There's a new pro-life campaign aimed at humanizing the victims of abortion. We're going to talk about that right now during this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is a returning guest, Eric Scheidler, who is the head of the Pro-Life Action League, and their website is prolifeaction.org. Eric, welcome back to the program. So good to have you on again.
I'm very grateful for the opportunity to be with you and your listeners again.
Sure. Tell us about this pro-life campaign that's geared towards putting a face, if you will, to the victims of abortion.
Well, you know, the Pro-Life Action League and many other pro-life groups have long recognized the power of the images of children whose lives have been taken by abortion. I once did a kind of casual survey of a whole room full of pro-life leaders, major national leaders, and asked them, you know, what got them into the pro-life movement. Nearly every single one of them pointed to seeing a picture of an aborted child. This is true of my father, Joe Scheidler, who founded the Pro-Life Action League and who many regard as the sort of godfather of a direct pro-life activism. So these pictures are very powerful. We've also seen the value of bringing these pictures out into the public square. So this part of the campaign is nothing new, taking abortion pictures out into the public square and exposing this injustice to a society that really wants to turn a blind eye to this. People don't want to look at abortion. They don't want to be reminded about abortion. They don't like to hear the word abortion. It makes people uncomfortable, and understandably so. It's a horrible injustice. It's a horrible Holocaust, and it's been going on for far too long. And I think most Americans recognize that they have a role to play in either allowing it or fighting against it. So these images are always going to evoke very strong feelings. But what we're doing now is trying to build upon our years of experience and our awareness of what kinds of things work better or worse. We are totally revamping the way that we go about showing these pictures in the public square with a brand new campaign called They Were Our Brothers and Sisters. Right from the title of the campaign, I think you get a sense of the ethos behind this. We're really trying to appeal to people to have a sense of sympathy, of brotherhood, of sisterhood with the unborn victims of abortion. We do that by choosing from hundreds and hundreds of abortion pictures that my team and I combed through. And you can imagine how heartbreaking it was for us to look through every image we could find of a child who was aborted. To look through those images and find the ones that we can zoom in on that are going to emphasize that humanity, that personal touch. We're dialing down the blood and the gore. That doesn't mean that these images aren't disturbing. They are. They touch the heart in the way that an image of injustice always will. But we're focusing in on the face of this one particular child aborted at 15 weeks, the hands and the forearms of a child aborted at 11 weeks, and the tiny little foot of a child aborted at 8 weeks. So we've got a range of different ages. And with each of these images, we have messaging that rather than kind of confronting people or offering a judgment morally or otherwise about abortion, we're simply making a human appeal. So on this picture of this little tiny baby's face, which is, by the way, a very beautiful face, even in death, the caption on one side of the sign reads, "His only baby picture." His only baby picture. And that's meant to appeal to, you know, that sense that people have of being excited about baby pictures. New parents, grandparents want to show pictures of their kids, their grandkids. We love to see pictures of babies. They're used in advertising all the time. You know, these are images of newborn babies that really have a place in our society. People even, a lot of people, their first baby picture is the ultrasound up on the refrigerator door after that visit to the obstetrician where they get to see what their baby looks like. Maybe find out if it's a little boy or a girl. This child, his only baby picture is an abortion picture. And that's not fair to that child. It's unfair, and I think that a phrase like that really highlights the injustice that's been done in a very human way. On the other side of that sign, we have an appeal that says, "Remember this face." And both sides of the sign tell the viewer that this child was aborted at 15 weeks. Mm. The sign with the two hands on it says, "10 perfect fingers aborted at 11 weeks." Again, trying to appeal to a common experience. People, I remember as a new father, marveling at the perfection of the tiny little fingers and little itty-bitty fingernails of my oldest son, Nate, when he was born 25 years ago. That's an experience that we all have as parents. Here's a child whose 10 perfect fingers were destroyed through abortion, whose life was taken away, who no one's ever going to look at their fingers and marvel at the beauty of them. That's unfair to that child. And finally, on that little tiny foot, you know, zooming in on that foot, The caption reads, "She'll never learn to walk." Again, a common experience that parents have. People marvel at that ability of a child to teach themselves to walk. The first steps are captured on video, posted on Facebook. But this child never got that opportunity. So in these different ways, we're appealing to people. We also show pictures of an embryo at 7 weeks that says life is beautiful at 7 weeks, and a fetus at 16 weeks saying life is beautiful at 16 weeks. So children who are before and after this kind of gauntlet of abortion pictures that we show as well.
Did you in any way run through some of this with a focus group? I'm just curious.
No, we didn't, partly because of the incredible expense of this type of a campaign, mm-hmm. And partly because this is such an unusual kind of a thing that it's hard for people to say, outside of the experience of actually being on the street, what their reaction would be. We weren't sure that we could really trust that. Now, focus groups have been done and surveys have been done on, say, sending postcards to people's homes and showing that there's a real change that takes place in people's attitude towards abortion. This was really just our many years as a staff of mm-hmm. experience and also many years of praying and thinking about this, of being with these pictures. I mean, as a pro-life activist, I have to look at these pictures and work with these pictures in, my Photoshop program and so forth. And I know how I react to them, and I've thought a lot about these children as distinct individuals, because you do start to feel a certain kind of kinship. That the child that we're showing on the picture with the baby face, I mean, this is a child who, I've looked at hundreds of pictures of this one child alone, or dozens I should say, and I really feel like a connection to this person who was lost, and we're really trying to share that connection that we feel with the larger community.
Wait, you're saying that the child whose face you're using at 15 weeks, and this is the only baby picture this child will ever have, that there are other photos of that same child?
Yeah, there was a photo shoot that was done. It's actually from Romania. Oh. of the aftermath of the abortion. So,
same particular child, though, of that,
yeah,
that particular
yeah,
face. Really, really. Wow. Oh, this is... But by the way, I'm glad that... For the tasteful approach, I know sometimes it can almost be counterproductive if you show images that are too gross. Yeah, it's part of the reality, but people get turned off by it, and then they end up not hearing what you have to say.
Well, I would liken it to an experience maybe many listeners have had. I've had this experience. I'm listening to the radio, listening to a record in the car. I'm on the highway where there's a lot of noise. I get off the highway, and suddenly the music's too loud. And you have to sometimes turn the volume down in order to hear.
Hmm.
We often think maybe, the best way to get your message out there is to make it loud, but actually sometimes a quieter message is easier to hear. And that's kind of what we're doing here. We're trying to dial down the volume while authentically telling a story about what abortion does to these children and how we really ought to feel about it.
All right. Now, how do you plan to get this information out there? Where will these images be seen or shown?
Well, we're launching this campaign in the Chicago area where the Pro-Life Action League is headquartered. We'll be out on the street starting on July 7th through July 15th and giving this a trial run, seeing what kind of reaction we get. Do we notice a difference in the way people respond? How do they respond to the beautiful literature piece that accompanies this display? And then we have a view to rolling this out across the country. With some of the many leaders that we've recruited around the country to do other types of work with us, like the protests at Planned Parenthood facilities and other things that we've done. We've recruited this very dedicated group of leaders in just about every city and town in the country. We have about 1,000 of them all together that have
wow.
worked with us, and offering them the opportunity to come on board and start to do these types of displays in their own communities as well. So this is kind of our trial run, launching this project in Chicago with a view to then spreading it around the country. And the way we show these signs is we go to busy intersections, very carefully chosen for safety, for parking, for visibility, and we have volunteers who come and hold the signs along the roadway. We cooperate very closely with local police force. We always inform them of our plans, and so we have a great deal of cooperation there. We let the media know what we're doing, and people will drive by, see the signs, get offered a piece of literature as they're stopping at the intersection, and then we'll see what kind of reactions we get.
Hmm. Well, I mean, I'm sure there would be some that would give you the finger or whatever. I mean, I say that having, often done that life chain I do that virtually every year, but those are just, you know, safe signs like pray to end abortion, abortion kills children, things like that. But actually showing some of the images, that's fascinating. Now, let me ask you a question. What if the other side says, or they accuse you guys of somehow doctoring these photos? What's your comment to that?
Well, we have evidence on our website. We have documentation on these images from the various sources that we receive them from, and people can go visit there and find out what kind of proof we have that these are real images. Moreover, I always just, when people say these are fake, I challenge them and say, what do you think an abortion looks like? I mean, anybody can go and look up the stages of fetal development. I mean, the images that that Nielsen put out in Life magazine in the 1960s show very clearly what life in the womb looks like in very early stages of development. What would that child look like if they were killed? You know, that's really just a red herring by the abortion industry, the most radical, you know, advocates for abortion who are desperate to silence anything we say. And to, you know, their effort is always to demonize the pro-life movement. They call us inciters of violence. They say that we are liars, that we're photoshopping images, because they don't want people to think about what they're doing, which is supporting the killing of children in their mother's wombs, the one place on the face of the earth designed for a child to be safe and nurtured.
Yeah, and, you know, frankly, let's talk about money. I mean, honestly, all the things that you guys do, you do it with the off-scouring or whatever the word is of, you know, whatever donations people happen to give you, or you have a full-time job that's unrelated, but you're doing this pro-life activity on the side. Meanwhile, in the abortion industry, I mean, I've talked to some people who used to work in the field, and they said, man, the money is really, really good. Carol Everett, for example, used to be a part owner of a few abortion clinics in the Dallas area, and she said it was all about money. At least in her case, it was all about money. And that is, she said that was true for others as well. But she was even hoping to be a millionaire, and then she became a Christian, and her eyes were open, and she talked girls out of getting abortions and then realized, hey, there's a conflict here between my newfound faith and what I've been involved in, and now she's, you know, totally pro-life, but I just bring this up because of the money side. I think that's an important factor.
Absolutely. I mean, the amount of money, and we don't even know the amount of money involved in the abortion industry, because in so many cases, it's a cash business.
Yeah. Oh.
Even women who have, and especially teens, who have insurance coverage for abortion will often not use it because they don't want that bill going to the home. You know, people to find out what they've done. So it's a cash business, very easy to be taking money under the table, and it tends to bleed into other forms of corruption. I mean, I'm sure people have heard about the horrors of Kermit Gosnell in Philadelphia. Kermit Gosnell is now serving life in prison for murdering born babies that survived his abortion techniques. This man was caught not by the federal government coming in for the Born Alive Infant Protection Act, but caught by the Department of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and the DEA, Drug Enforcement Agency, because of the drugs that he was selling illegally out of his abortion facility.
Wow. Okay, now you mentioned an 11-week-old abortion, an 8-week-old abortion, and a 15-week-old abortion. Just on average, approximately, how much does an 8-week-old abortion cost?
The average price of an abortion early, you know, that early in pregnancy would run somewhere between $450 and $800, depending on whether you decide to go with a medical abortion where they give you a pill that causes the woman's body to evacuate that child, very painful, many days of bleeding kind of a process, or whether you go for a surgical abortion, whether you choose anesthesia or not, or whether it's total anesthesia or just a local. Other factors would be if you choose a medical abortion and it doesn't work, which sometimes happens, then you have to go back for a surgical abortion. That can make the costs rise. But interestingly, the price of abortion has stayed pretty flat over the years. It has not really risen, even with inflation. It seems to be a threshold that they really can't raise the price beyond, which I think shows you how much on a knife's edge, so to speak, the abortion decision really rests on. You know, even just a few extra dollars will be enough for a woman to decide not to have an abortion and to take on the much more costly, choice of raising a child. But I think that goes
the much
to show
more rewarding
how little
choice.
Real desire there is for abortion, and how you know how much women really don't want them. You know, no one woman really wants an abortion. She wants to not be pregnant anymore.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, while the abortion does end the pregnancy, it doesn't end the motherhood. You're now the mother of a dead baby.
Wow. ProLifeAction.org for more information, including you can log on and see this campaign that Eric Scheidler's been describing. Eric, thanks so much for being with us on Vocal Point.
Thanks for the opportunity. Always a pleasure.
Okay. God bless. Bye-bye.